This episode of Motherhood in Hollywood is brought to you by Smile Direct Club. For you guys following along at home, you know I am in the middle of trying to feel better and look better in my old age and looking at various ways I can do that on this kind of wellness journey that I'm on. And one of the things that's always bugged me is as I get older, my smile is changing. My teeth are separating a little bit. My smile is getting less white and more brown thanks to all the coffee and booze I drink. So I'm so excited to be partnering with the folks over at Smile Direct Club because it is the perfect way, simple, easy way to fix your teeth at home. You don't have to mess with any crazy doctor visits. You also don't have to deal with the crazy doctor fees because, you guys, it's so expensive and most dental work is not covered by insurance, especially something like this. So make sure you go to smiledirectclub.com, check it out, see if it is the right fit for you. If it is, enter the code Heather Smiles and you'll get 50% off your at-home impression kit or a free scan if you're in a city where they have one of their Smile Shop markets. So make sure you check that out at smiledirectclub.com, Heather Smiles, and you'll get a little discount from me, Heather. Hi, how are you? And Motherhood in Hollywood.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, everyone. You may have noticed this week we are releasing this podcast on a Tuesday instead of MIH Monday. That is because I wanted to wait this week because Oscar nominations were announced today. The Academy Awards were announced today, or the Academy Award nominations, I should say, for the 90th Academy Awards. And I wanted to bring on somebody very near and dear to my heart to talk about this.
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, ladies and gentlemen, is here. He wasn't busy.
No, not at all. It's me.
It's Chris Brooker. Yay! One of my favorite people, in addition to my favorite podcast guest.
Yay. I'm honored.
Oh, you're so cute. So we have to talk about, first of all, how was your Christmas?
It was delightful.
How's everything been since you were last on the show?
So far, so good. No complaints. You know.
We had a great Christmas. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Went to Big Bear 2 a couple weeks ago. Was it a couple?
Last week. Wasn't it?
Was it last week? I guess maybe it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm tired. Anyway, we've been having a lot of fun around the Brooker household. So one of the things I noticed this morning was that I have not seen most of these movies.
I was just about to say that. That's the first thing that hit me this morning when I read all the nominations. Mm-hmm. I've seen one of the Best Picture nominees.
I honestly think this is the first time in maybe a decade that I haven't seen, I want to say any. No, I've seen Get Out, but I haven't seen any.
Well, we got some catch up to do. We got some time to catch up, definitely.
I am a little disappointed in myself because usually I'm more on top of it, but I have to be honest, none of these sound interesting. I've never even heard of Call Me By Your Name. I had to look that up. I was like, what is this?
The Shape of Water actually looks very interesting to me. It's Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
And he's awesome.
You like that stuff though, his dark weirdness.
Yeah. Dunkirk, I've heard great things about too, ever since it came out. But the rest, you know, you're right. Like, well, Lady Bird, I've also heard is pretty excellent too.
I would like to see Lady Bird. See that. I just feel like there was all this hype and, you know, everybody was talking about it and it's still on my list to see. It still is. But the Three Billboards does not look, it just looks boring and heavy. It looks Lifetime movie-ish.
That is like
people might hate on me for saying that.
That seems to me to be like the indie movie that made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was these real all, indie when it came out and then it just gained momentum and now it's, you know, gotten all the awards.
These all feel very indie to me, except Dunkirk.
And The Post.
Eh, I mean, the post, even that, I was like, I haven't seen any ads for that. I mean, I think I saw one trailer maybe.
Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, and Steven Spielberg.
Great cast. Yeah. But also, I'm like, there's no promotion for it. I think also, too, I'm kind of in a weird position because with Motherhood in Hollywood, I get invited a lot to kid movies now. Mm-hmm. That seems to be what people go, oh, she's a mom blogger. Yep. She must only like kid movies. Which is great. I love it because then I can go with my daughter and, you know, it gives me a chance to share with other moms and dads if they should take their kids.
But you're not exactly first in line at the Get Out premiere.
No. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I wasn't invited. Thanks for pointing that out. I wasn't invited to the Get Out premiere. But I mean, like, the kids movies are great, but I've sort of been lumped into this category now of, like, family entertainment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I don't really know. I mean, I'm working on bucking that because I swear a lot. So I'm hoping.
You're generally filthy.
I'm generally filthy. So I'm really hoping that people go, oh, she's not family entertainment at all. But you
kind of have to be.
I know. There's a big part of me that kind of has to be. So I've seen a lot of kids movies. I've seen a lot of, can you hold the mic close to your face? Just like in it.
Got it.
God, please learn something about audio. he's giving me a F you look right now. Anyway, so yeah, I've been lumped into
this. Just say that joke every time I'm on the show.
Every time.
Every time I'm on the show.
It gets a laugh for me every time.
Only from you.
Well, the tens of people that listen to my show probably also think it's funny.
Probably do.
So anyway, I get lumped into this category of like kids movies. So if you want to know about the Emoji Movie.
Paddington. Yeah.
Or anything like that. Like, I'm your go-to. It's frustrating for me to not get invited to see the real movies. Like, for example, when I was at the Paddington 2 press event, they had like this special tea party. They invited a bunch of local mom bloggers and a bunch of kids and stuff. And as I'm walking out of the London in West Hollywood, where they do a ton of press events lately, it's really weird. It's become like the go-to place. As I'm walking out, there's signs set up for 12 strong. I walked by and I was like, oh, thank you. I was like, oh, what is this? And they were like, oh, we're setting up for the press event for 12 strong. And I'm like, what? I want to see Chris Hemsworth is my spirit animal.
Yes, he is.
My spirit lover.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting right here.
He's sitting right here. So I'm like, why? I see why. I know I was invited to Paddington, but why was I not also invited to 12 Strong? And I think it's because I'm lumped into this family entertainment, mommy blogger category.
Yeah.
So I gotta buck that. And that's also why I haven't seen a lot of these other movies. I wasn't invited to press screenings for any of these.
You know, time's a big thing, too. Like, we don't get out to the theater that much. Mm-mm. We don't really see a lot
of
movies.
It's too expensive.
It is too expensive. But also, it's just like, I get home from work. I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. You know, the weekends, you know, you work your other job on the weekends.
Right.
And, like, I'm also exhausted still on the weekends. And then at night, you know, when we can rent them, we usually just don't.
Right.
You know, so.
Well, are any of them out for rent?
Yeah, Dunkirk is out and available right now.
Oh.
So is Blade Runner.
And we saw Get Out at home, actually.
We did see Get Out. Well, that was a real early release. That came out early in the year.
Yeah, I remember we saw that a long time ago.
We've had time to see it. Blade Runner's out now to rent, and I really want to see that. That's on my list.
Is Blade Runner nominated?
Not for, like, Best Picture, but I think Best Original Screenplay, maybe.
I've got my list here because we're going to talk about it. I mean, we're not going to go too deep because clearly we both admitted that we don't know what we're talking about. So we can't go too deep.
Blade Runner, best comedy. No, that's not it.
I see that. Can we talk about, once you find out what you want to look at for Blade Runner? Blade Runner, sound editing. Sound mixing. And production design.
Well, I knew it was nominated for something.
You got three nominations. That's pretty good. Can we talk about that Logan got nominated?
I thought you might want to talk about that, actually. Yep.
I'm very excited. I really feel like they missed an opportunity, though, to nominate it for other things, but...
Yes, I agree, but I also understand it's such a genre piece. It's a comic book movie. It doesn't get all the love, even though of all the comic movies, that one really does.
So
really
great.
Should.
It was nominated quickly for Adapted Screenplay.
Adapted Screenplay.
Scott Frank and
novel.
James Mangold and Michael Green.
Yeah. Best Adapted Screenplay.
I still think about Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how good that movie was, I thought. I walked out of the theater and I was just like, damn, That was a great movie.
Hugh Jackman really went out on a high note.
Ugh. And like, totally. I don't, comic book stuff aside, sci-fi, whatever aside, it was just a great movie. Mm-hmm. Like the acting was impeccable. The feeling that you were there with them in this futuristic bizarro world or whatever was real. And there wasn't, you know, all the superhero effects of like a Marvel movie and, you know, or a DC movie or anything like that. It just felt like a man's story.
Yes.
It felt like a man's journey. And the fact that he died at the end, spoiler alert.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
The fact that he, like, died at the end and had this full, like, life and we followed him. I just thought it was a beautiful story. And I love that it was, at least acknowledged in some way. And I hope that this is a step towards the Academy maybe opening the door a little bit more for something other than just technical awards for some of these movies. Now, you know.
No, I agree. Yeah.
I know they're not going to win, you know, huge writing awards and stuff like that. But sometimes the acting is really great.
Well, best adapted screenplay. That's a big writing award right there.
It's pretty great. But it's up against some pretty big one. Like, I think Mudbound will get that one. That movie is.
Oh, it's getting a lot of momentum right now, actually. Yeah.
Right.
I think best original screenplay should go to, what's the movie?
Big Sick?
Yes.
Not Lady Bird or Shape of Water?
I haven't seen Lady Bird or Shape of Water yet, come to think of it. And consequently, I'm not actually looking at the list in front of me, and I didn't see those. So
now you want to change your
I have Big
answer?
Sick in my mind because I really like the movie, but now I think, yeah.
We have seen The Big Sick. I would like to point that out.
Big Sick was really good.
I didn't think it was Oscar worthy. I'm not going to lie. I did not. Even the screenplay, I thought, oh, this is cute. I didn't think it was Oscar worthy.
It was a little overhyped.
Yeah.
It was a little overhyped.
I feel like they didn't have much to choose from. This feels like a bunch of list of movies that there wasn't much to choose from. Like last year there was La La Land, which was such a clear
event picture.
Yeah. Really. And then what was the one it was up against that they announced the wrong name for?
Moonlight.
Yeah, which was also just like a juggernaut of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That
Hidden Figures was last year.
Yeah,
there was a lot of big movies.
There were big,
absolutely right,
bigger indie movies that felt like, oh, these are real contenders. These movies all just feel kind of like
boring.
Meh. Yeah.
Kind of boring.
And I can also say that because I'm not in any of them. But I don't know. It just feels like a boring. I think they are going to be hard pressed to get a good audience for this year's Academy Awards because so many of the movies are so small. No one's going to tune in to see if Coco wins Best Animated Feature, which
it totally will.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. A little surprised Lego Batman was not on the Best Animated Feature list.
It wasn't that great of a movie. Actually.
You didn't think Lego Batman was that good?
I was actually a bit disappointed. I laughed at it a few times, but compared to Coco, no.
I saw almost every animated kids movie last year. I saw Boss Baby.
Coco.
I saw Ferdinand.
Coco actually just like blew me away. When
it was
I saw
so good.
It. I was like amazed. It's so
yeah,
so
Disney's
stellar.
Got that one in the bag for sure. Okay, so let's just sort of quickly run down the list.
Sure.
Just Best Picture.
You know, the only one I saw on the list is Get Out, and I'll say once again, I also thought that was really overrated.
I do too.
It was a good movie. It was
and
solid.
That could be because we're white. And people will go, you didn't
I know
get
a
it.
Lot of white people that loved it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just thought it was...
I thought it was overrated.
I thought it was good. And for a first-time director, mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. Oscar-worthy.
Yeah, pretty Oscar-worthy.
I also think the Academy Awards are trying to overcorrect a little bit for the years of overlooking black filmmakers.
Oscar so white.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Black filmmakers in particular with writing and directing.
Maybe.
I think they're trying to... Which is good. They should overcompensate for years of missing out on that category. I don't think the Get Out, did not watch that and go, wow, this is an Academy Award winning film. I just didn't.
I was entertained, but
it was entertained.
I wasn't
this was
away.
A movie that I was like, oh, that was fun.
I prefer The Big Sick to Get Out.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to choose something. Yeah. Dunkirk, I think, is an Academy Award level of epic film.
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah. I think that to me
Harry
is an
Styles
Academy Award
is in
winning
it.
Movie.
I mean, come on. It's got Oscar written all over it.
But I think it's, to me, I think it's a race between The Shape of Water and Three Billboards.
You know, when I saw the previews for Dunkirk in the theater, mm-hmm. I just kind of rolled my eyes and was like, ugh, another war movie.
Do we need another war movie?
And it didn't, you know, honestly, the original previews didn't strike me. But then, like, when it hit and everyone started giving it these golden mm-hmm. reviews, I was like, well, I definitely need to check that out. And
it's supposed to be pretty good.
Have not checked it out.
I'm hearing a lot of great things about I, Tonya.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I had, I was invited to a screening of that, but I ended up canceling because I couldn't go for some reason. Something came up and I missed it. The lead actress category is an interesting one, too. Like, I mean, you got Meryl Streep, of course, but then you got Sally Hawkins for The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards.
And she cleaned up in the SAG Awards.
Don't interrupt me when I'm reading a list. Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, and Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird. I think it's either going to be Saoirse Ronan or Frances McDormand.
I'd like Saoirse Ronan mm-hmm. to do it. I got a feeling Frances McDormand will take it, I will not be surprised whatsoever if Meryl Streep takes it.
I don't think Meryl Streep will win for The Post.
Okay.
The Post hasn't won anything far. I think a huge upset because right now Frances McDormand.
She's got momentum.
She has the momentum because she's won everything, but it's for some reason the Oscars love to give awards for leading actress to young starlets. Like look at Jennifer Lawrence. Look at Natalie Portman when she won.
Well, I will say Saoirse Ronan is due. I think she's had some stellar performances. Atonement, her first role, I believe, was great.
So great.
I've been a fan of hers ever since. That
right.
movie, actually.
Right, but she's also like 22. Like, let me see how, I'm curious to know how old Saoirse Ronan is. I just feel like, I don't know, maybe it's my snobbery of the Academy Awards, but I feel like
snobbery
they should give
jealousy
100%. I just think that they give the Academy Awards to young women who haven't had a breath of a career. Like there's not a, to me, the Oscar should go to someone who has like had accomplished something other than just a few hit indie movies. Like it has to be, you can carry your stardom and your fame and your career for maybe a couple decades. Like, I don't know. I don't know why I feel that
way. But it's about this year. It's not about their career.
I know.
It's about individual performances.
She's 23.
But if she had a fantastic performance that blew everyone else away, like Jennifer Lawrence did in Winter's Bone, mm-hmm. Where she just
didn't win for Winter's Bone though.
No, she didn't, but that's how she got noticed was that movie. And actually they say when she won the Oscar the next year, it was really for Winter's Bone and not for I can't even remember.
She won for Silver Linings Playbook.
Ugh, that's a terror. That's a totally overrated movie.
But she was nominated for Winter's Bone and American Hustle and Joy.
She was good in American Hustle. Winter's Bone though was such a standout performance, and that's why I think she was given the Oscar kind of post or a year later, you know, to make up for that loss.
Yeah. And also I would like to point out too, hold on, that she is 27 and she won that award 4 years ago. So she was about the same age as Saoirse Ronan.
Okay.
I just feel like there's something about these young girls that all the old Academy voters are like, yeah, this one. This blonde lady.
Yeah,
is
there's
the
also
one
a publicity train to consider too. They've got, you know, lots of publicists, you know, doing their job.
Do you ever like whenever you Google something? Does it Google ever say people also searched for, and then it like shows you other options that come up with that? Like I searched Jennifer Lawrence, and it says people also search for Brad Pitt, Emma Watson, and Emma Stone. Why would they look up Brad Pitt? Did she make a movie with Brad Pitt?
I don't know what to tell you.
Is she dating Brad Pitt? Why do you not know how Google works?
Just a weird tangent of a conversation.
I used to work, when I was at one of the other local news stations here, we worked early, early morning hours, and we would sometimes like goof off and find funny things to do. And we realized we could type in phrases and questions into Google, and it was funny to see how Google would answer the question. So for example, like I would say, let me type this in right now. What time is, and these are the answers that Google comes up. What time is it in California? What time is it in Alaska? What time is it sunset? What time is it in Hawaii? So like those are typical answers. So like we'll do what color is the dress, blood, the sun, indigo, your parachute. What?
Yeah, Google pulls the... Yeah.
What color is your parachute? Why would anyone ever search that?
I don't know.
But it's just the Google predict, I guess.
Yeah, Google predicts it based on the overarching algorithm nationwide or worldwide, rather. But it also, whatever you've had done past searches for as well, that factors heavily into it.
So I wonder why it would wonder what color is your parachute.
And like, I did a big parachute research project a couple weeks ago, actually. color is very important in the parachute.
Best Mom Podcast. Oh, Heather Brooker. No, but it's just interesting. I love Google. Anyway.
Tangent.
Okay, so lead actor, again, Daniel Day-Lewis, that guy. I thought he was retiring.
I thought he did too, actually. You know, but
did we dream that?
No, I'd heard that too. You know, I saw a billboard for Phantom Thread today on the way home, and I just was like, I don't even know what that's about. Should I?
For the Phantom Thread? Yeah. I hadn't even heard of it. That's what I'm saying is like so many of these movies.
I thought it was a new Star Wars movie.
I thought it was. It sounds very Star Warsy. So many of these movies are so indie and so small. Like, I don't think most people have heard of them. I guarantee you, if my mom hasn't heard of it, then my mom goes and sees every movie.
Right.
Bad movies. A lot of bad movies. But she goes to see every movie. And my mom is typical middle America. Well, like, I like that new Reese Witherspoon movie, you know, and like that's what she'll go see no matter what.
Of course.
But I promise you, my mom has not heard of any of these movies. She'll call me up and go, what's Get Out? You know?
I'm sure she'll appreciate that movie.
I don't know.
There's a lot of buzz on Timothée Chalamet right now for Best Actor. For Call Me By Your Name. I'm seeing his face around a lot.
Yeah.
He's once again one of those younger actors. But for Best Actor, does it work that way? It doesn't often go to the younger actors. It goes to more established.
Yeah, and that's what's messed up is like it always goes to these young, sexy, whatever starlets. But then when it comes to the lead actor, it's always the more established, older man. Like
Denzel.
I don't think Daniela Kaluuya. Sorry if I'm messing your name up, Daniel. I don't think he's going to win for Get Out. I think Get Out may win screenplay, but I don't think he'll win the acting.
It'll go to Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman has the momentum right now. Also, when they called Denzel Washington's name for Roman J. Israel Esquire, I was like, what the freak is that movie? I've never heard of that movie.
Yeah, that's the movie he did.
Obviously, it's a movie he did because he was nominated for it. But I haven't seen any ads for that.
It's a very popular movie.
All right, stop talking about it.
I don't know. We've been talking about it for months.
You're so ridiculous.
I outlined the whole plot for you the other day, and you weren't even listening.
Okay, you did not, but whatever. You're ridiculous. All right, so let's go down a little bit to... does anybody care about the sound mixing?
sound people do.
Editing.
But, you know, sound mixing goes usually to your war movies.
Yeah.
Your action special effects movies, sci-fi movies. I think Blade Runner is probably in there.
I personally think, you know how they have the technical awards, like the week before the actual televised Academy Awards?
Yes.
And I think that sound editing and all the sound mixing awards should be put on that show. Just because the Oscars are already so long that it's hard for people to care for that long. Like, one great thing about the SAG Awards is that it's all for the acting awards, but there's not a lot of hoo-ha. You get in, you get your award, you get out. Like, this year they had a host, Kristen Bell, which was a lot of fun to watch. But it's like, a couple of jokes, here's the award. Couple of jokes, here's the award.
That's how it should be.
Although
I like seeing the live performances of the music.
Sure,
and stuff
but
like
at
that.
Some point it just gets a little masturbatory where you're like, oh, look how amazing this song is. Look how amazing this movie
that's
is.
That's why the middle of the country makes fun of Hollywood so much is because it is masturbatory.
I have noticed more and more over the past few years, more people commenting and tweeting and, you know, putting out there how they think Hollywood's leftist elite is too full of themselves. They're all very wealthy, you know, and it's hard for people in the middle of the country, or honestly, on either coast, really, to connect with somebody who is making $20 million a movie and then bitching about life. Granted, they have every right to do that because they're people too. They have they're using their platform for good. I get that. But I also understand why there are some people who just don't connect with a lot of the sentiments that are expressed, political sentiments in particular.
That's
that
what
are
a lot
expressed.
Of it is too, especially in the last few years. It's been a lot about
a lot
politics,
of political,
you know, a lot of outrage, a lot of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Yeah, there is a disconnect there between, mm-hmm. especially like Middle America.
Right. I hate to keep lumping Middle America into it, but it is.
Well, it's
a lot of it is, you know. I don't know, I don't want to generalize.
We're generally speaking here. So, yes, Middle America versus the coast.
Yeah.
There is that sentiment there. There is a disconnect.
There's a disconnect. And I think that there's now like a lot of pushback and a lot of people are like, well, I'm just going to stay home and watch TV then. There's great television happening right now. I'm not going to go see your movies.
Yeah.
They'll go out for the big Marvel movies and the Star Wars movies, but they're not going to go see these movies because they feel like they're being preached at by the actors who are in them. And it's just the world we live in now where actors are taking a stand and speaking out about issues, whether it's the Me Too or Time's Up movement or whether it's their feelings on politics and the president. And I think that a lot of people are turned off by that.
Yeah.
And then you add to that a bunch of movies that no one's ever heard of or maybe didn't see. And I think this year's Oscars is going to be
poorly watched.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think a lot of people are going to watch it. I'm going to watch it just because I'm a nerd. I'm hoping that I'll be covering it.
You make this an event.
Like, huh?
If you're not off work, which
right.
you always try to get off work, but
right.
if you're not, you like put up your Oscar pool at work, you bring in snacks,
yes.
there's cake.
It's a big night.
Yeah, it's a big night.
Because honestly, there is
it's an event.
A part of me that still holds on to that Hollywood ideal of the glamour and the classic feeling of the Academy Awards. That I hearken back to a time when it was Sophia Loren mm-hmm. and you know, Marilyn Monroe and like maybe not so much Marilyn Monroe, but like those actors who were stars. They were movie stars.
Right. Right.
And it was about the movies. Sure, it was about the pomp and circumstance, a little bit of it, but it wasn't about the fashion cam or the nail cam or whatever, who's going to wear what ribbon to show their support for whatever cause or it was just about the movies.
Yep.
It was about creating something that affected the population of the world and people enjoyed your talents and the story you're telling.
Well, they
and we just don't, it's just not like that anymore.
Well, and they enjoyed the talents, but they also enjoyed the spectacle of it. It was like,
sure.
It was like when you were watching the Oscars back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, whatever. Mm-hmm. When we were watching the Oscars, it was a spectacle. It was, these are people that are elite. I want to see this slice of life. Nowadays, you see that garbage all the time. Every time you
all
turn
the time.
On TV, People Magazine, whatever.
There's a red carpet every week, five times a week now, and we see
exactly.
celebrities parading around in, you know, thousands of dollars worth
it's
of fashion.
It's taken the
and
luster off of it.
It has.
And it's also become kind of a parody of itself
yeah.
with the, you know, fashion cams and
yes.
what are you wearing.
It's
and
cheesy.
What cause are you speaking for tonight?
My fear kind of is that before I actually get to be nominated and win an Oscar, that it's going to implode on itself. Like, it's going to get to the point where the ratings are so bad that the networks are no longer going to air it. And it's eventually just going to go like online and then away. And people are not going to care anymore.
You get a letter in the mail. Congratulations.
Right.
You won Best Actress.
You won an Oscar. I mean, that may never happen, but I'm sitting here like, everyone, please just like stop freaking around and focus on what's important because you're going to miss the, you know, you're missing an opportunity here.
Just watch the pretty people get their awards.
Just watch
it's
the pretty
fun.
People get their
it's
award.
It's fun. You'll never be as rich as they will be, but just watch them.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know that we have gleaned anything from this conversation whatsoever, but it sure has been fun. Jimmy Kimmel is hosting the 90th Academy Awards air on March 4th. Please follow Heather Brooker on Twitter, because I'll be doing some live tweeting. Also follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Motherhood in Hollywood, where I'll be posting a lot of stuff as well. I would love to hear your Oscar picks, you guys. If you have some movies, like if you have thoughts on these movies that maybe you've seen them all and you are super pumped about one in particular, let me know. I would love to hear from you. Chris Booker, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're the dreamiest.
Well, I've been told.
All right, everybody. That's it for me. Have a wonderful week. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.